the housing levy for the first time is going to, you know, create a situation where Kenyans are going to get rid of the slums and things like that. But, you know, the issue of housing, as been argued in other places, is that an individual really should make a decision as to what type of house you want, and you should not be really rammed down your throat. There are suspicions that that money is meant for something else other than the making sure that people have cheaper houses. But the point is that even at the time when this thing is being imposed, people are already having difficulties. You know, banks are not collecting enough repayment on loans. You know, a lot of people's things are being sold. A retrenchment is going on in private sector because they can't pay. Many of our county governments are not able to meet their targets, or able to meet the overheads that they have, because there's no money coming from the national government. So, and then the other thing, of course, is that a lot of Kenyans who are being taxed are the same ones that are expected to contribute this amount of money.
There is also the issue of the government trying to raise about $356 million, a move that some people are saying is necessary in order to cushion the debt burden.
There's a counter-argument. The counter-argument is that loans are usually renegotiated or restructured so that ever if the loans are coming due and there is an opportunity for the government to go and discuss and restructure these loans. Some of them can be delayed. World Bank and the IMF are not dying tomorrow. The Chinese government is not falling tomorrow. So we're going to renegotiate these things for some kind of relief. It's not something that is beyond government.
So where do Kenyans go from here, the average taxpayer? Because some people are
saying... I think Kenyans, a lot of them will have to go to court and challenge some of this, challenge the finance bill and some of the things that they think were unfairly put into the law. You know, the courts sometimes have acted to stop some of these things. In long run, because you see, if the court gives an order, it will then force both the executive and the parliament to go back to the drawing board and check some of those things that can actually affect Kenyans adversely. The most unfortunate thing is that the opposition in parliament is now looks very weak. They seem not to be keen on checking some of the excesses of the executive. And so I think our only hope maybe lies in going to court and perhaps getting orders of the court to deal with some of this thing.
Attorney James Mwamu is a former president of the Law Society of Kenya and a political analyst. He spoke with me from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. Parliamentarians from the opposition are calling on the government to bring all of the Ugandan troops deployed abroad back home to help bolster security in the East African country. They said their deployment on peacekeeping missions abroad appears to have made it possible for militant groups to attack unarmed civilians. The lawmakers are also demanding an immediate audit of payments and equipment for the armed forces. The demand follows the recent killing of at least 40 students by the Allied Democratic Forces, a militant group based in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Parliamentarian Ibrahim Semuju tells me that the troops must return to protect the homeland.
We passed a budget of over 70 billion Ugandan shillings for our forces to pursue ADF in Congo. But ADF now, following that attack in Kasese, it appears it is operating in Uganda as well. So if you have an enemy at home and an enemy far away, so which enemy do you deal with first? So until we are sure that there is no ADF remaining in Uganda, then you can go to the Democratic Republic of Congo. And mind you, around 1998, 1999, 2000, when we went to pursue ADF in Congo, we ended up in Kisangani, we ended up in the capital city, removing the government, and we ended up being accused. In fact, not accused, we lost the case in the international court. Last two financial years, we have been paying Democratic Republic of Congo 200 billion shillings. So you never, nobody is sure that by going to Congo, actually, we are only pursuing ADF. That's why one is able to return. Because in the past, they have misbehaved, they went handing for ADF, they ended up stealing gold from Congo.
Do you think the withdrawal of all these troops will boost internal security and prevent attacks by armed groups such as ADF? Is that a fact that you can rely on? Do you have evidence that will support this assertion?
Because you see, the children were hacked to death, shot. The ADF spent 2 hours to 3 hours killing and murdering our children. And then the army, the overall commander, Major General Dicky Orum, returned the following day from Congo, now to pursue ADF in Uganda. And part of the reason that we have been given from the local leaders there is that they don't have enough troops to man our borders. And that's why now we've been told some battalions are being sent there. So we need to protect ourselves against the ADF. You don't have to go to Congo, which is not our country. Why don't we just concentrate on buying equipment and using equipment to collect intelligence around the border and deploying along the border to stop them from entering Uganda?
But Mr. Semuju, Uganda has its international obligations. It's a member country in the East African community. When called upon, it needs to provide assistance to help stabilize the entire region and not entirely solely on Uganda. Don't you think Uganda will be become, you know, like an island?
I have an obligation to my village and to the country, but I have a responsibility to feed my family. So I cannot leave my family starving and then say I have a responsibility to the village, so let me first take the food to the village and to the country. That's what we are saying. We're not saying that we are oblivious of that international obligation and the region. But we are under attack. We are under attack. Who do you defend first? Why don't we first concentrate on defending the Ugandans who are now vulnerable as a result of part of our forces going to Congo, going to Somalia, South Sudan, Central African Republic? You need to stabilize and provide security to Uganda. Then the excess is what you export.
Now, the opposition parliamentarians, including you, are calling on the government to institute a detailed audit and review into the payment and scale up on the supportive equipment supplied to all security personnel to improve their performance. What do you mean by this?
You see, this is our security, and government is accountable to the population. The amount of money that we spend, because every year we are told there will be classified equipment. Even the budget that we have just passed as parliament, there is almost $1 billion for classified equipment. We need to know this equipment that cannot defend us when we are under attack, which sort of equipment are they? Because in the past, we have had problems with the under declaration of strength. When we are fighting the Road Resistance Army, a battalion that is supposed to comprise of 700 soldiers ended up being 300. So our own soldiers have in the past exaggerated our strength. We cannot entirely leave our own security and security of Ugandans in their hands. That's why we must keep watching. We are the institution that appropriates money for them. So they must account for the strength, but also for the equipment that we keep buying.
Ibrahim Semuju is a Ugandan member of parliament. He spoke with me from the capital, Kampala. You are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, a former Zambian top envoy to South Africa has petitioned authorities saying he was abducted and assaulted by police officers who detained him. Emmanuel Mwamba, Zambia's former High Commissioner to South Africa and later to Ethiopia, says the mistreatment is a gross violation of his rights. He has since petitioned the Human Rights Commission. He says it appears the administration is using state institutions, including the police, to intimidate and harass opponents, accusations the government sharply denies. Mwamba, who is also a spokesman for the main opposition Patriotic Front, or PF, was arrested by 12 police officers. This after he was charged with forgery and publication of information, a violation of the Cyber Security and Cyber Crimes Act. Mwamba and another person have since been released pending a court appearance. For more reaction about his arrest and subsequent petition to the authorities, I reach Ambassador Emmanuel Mwamba in the Zambian capital, Lusaka.
I didn't know that the police were looking for me. They just stormed the place where I was washing the car, a public place. And I demanded that I speak to my lawyer because I didn't know where these 12 men were from. I couldn't just allow 12 men to take me. I demanded to know who they were. They didn't show me any ID. Consequently, they injured my right thumb, my wrist, right wrist, my shoulder was, I think, almost dislocated on my right. I'm still in pain. A lot of pain on my right neck and the bruises on the left shoulder, which you probably must have seen. After I was detained for a period of 3 days, so after I was released, I went to the hospital, which confirmed the injuries that I had, and they issued a medical report. The brutal attack on me, whether it was by policemen or strange men, cannot be allowed in a democracy.
So what has the police authority said so far about the allegations you are making against these officers?
They claimed that they didn't receive my medical report. I proceeded to take the original copies of my medical report issued by the University Teaching Hospital, a government facility. And I took the records, again, the medical reports, on Monday. Today is Friday. Nothing has been done. No police officer has been arrested or charged for the offense of assault. Instead, they turned around and charged me for assault that had assaulted one of the policemen when they were arresting me.
But did you assault? Did you engage in any altercation with the police officers who came to arrest you?
No, not at all. There were many witnesses, and some have even spoken to them after that. There were even some that were taking video calls, which the police went into the crowd and grabbed those phones. I have spoken to the people whose phones were grabbed, and they are willing to give testimony, you know, to the courts to demonstrate what I am telling you and what the medical records are showing. Did I resist? No, Peter. I am a distinguished diplomat in this country. I have a public life for the last 25 years. I'm a renowned, you know, I used to be official spokesperson for the second president. I've served at the highest level in government as permanent secretary. There was no way I would interfere with the work of the police. But you should just see 12 people turn up in 3 motor vehicles and they approach me and they're asking me to go with you. My only crime is that I asked that I call my lawyer and I call my wife. That was the only crime. And they were preventing me from calling my lawyer or my wife. I was in great danger because I didn't know who these men were. And this was literally an abduction. If they wanted me for any matter, Peter, they have my numbers. I am a man of fixed abode. I'm a man who's renowned in this country. I was never on the run. In fact, when they came to the car wash, I had just come from a radio program where we are discussing party matters. As you know, I'm one of the official spokespersons for the opposition Patriotic Front. So I was on radio. There was no need to look for me like a dangerous criminal where you send all these men who ended up brutalizing me.
Some people are saying that the said document you are alleged to have forged was meant to create tension, disaffection, and make the government unpopular. pretty much trying to undermine the societal norms and the peace that Zambia enjoys.
That is, Peter, that's ridiculous. The president was on record ridiculing the church. His secretary general called the foremost archbishop in Zambia for the Catholic Church. He called him a Lucifer and referred him to those that promote genocide in Africa. Who is promoting lawlessness in our country? I was not part to that debate. It has been the government trying to destroy the voice of the church. It is government that has raised, you know, the risk nature to our peace and security with those remarks and with the unwanted, unwarranted attacks against the church. This is before even the documents emerge. The President Hakainde Hichilema himself sent 7 ministers to speak to the authorities of the Catholic Church, recognizing that they had made mistakes and they were what they called a peace mission. Why were they seeking a peace mission with the Catholic if they didn't offend the Catholic? How do I come in?
Ambassador Emmanuel Mwamba is a former Zambian top envoy to South Africa. He spoke with me from the capital, Lusaka. Right now it's time for music from our African collection.
my beautiful ladies who wanna link up. Niko na semi location. Me and my homies having a drink up. Up on safari, we got vacation. Five star life. Just keep moving like dolphins. And you know we got ice on ice. Big boy, so they like talking. Whatever.
I can't let you go. Cause I'm the craze for your body. And then I see. Oh, we can get more ideas.
Just met, my mentor, I said, please, let me take you out if it's alright. I need a lady by my side, and I can't look any further cause she's my type. You know I saw you coming, and I could see that I don't really know this girl, but she's a vibe. And now you're looking all surprised, I'm sorry, I apologize, cause I can't help it. I got a crush on you, I'm kinda selfish. You think it's a lie, don't you? My coma melted, cause I can die for you. You know I felt it, that I'd be the one for you. Would you wanna walk with me? A couple things that we can talk about. Baby, please talk to me. Tell me what you need and I can sort it out. You know I got you.
I can't let you go, cause I'm the craze for your body. And then I see, oh, we can't get more ideas. Baby, why you do me so? Know your body tonight. I go buff champagne for your body tonight. Spend all my money, oh. If you got a friend or two with a body, oh. Baby, pull up, let's get busy tonight. Your body, oh. Come on, me need my mommy, oh. So baby, come to my big pop champagne. I say your body make a go insane. Your body tonight. I go pop champagne. I will come running, I'll do what you want, you know, like this door.
don't know.
XYZ.
The mentor. Number two, XYZ. So the lady Uri wanna finish it. I know she's gonna act and go, you bet. The finger current and the put in this amate. I see Kana Zapera, Zapera. Usapa is a single sinatera. Eko katika kekuta kufisa. Wawasia na naya muru loka neka kusinya pera. Chanjera kuzu ziringira life yako. Nekuta kupo ama e. Unange uchapera mari. Nema panduru uchita kupo ama e.
My number, ndaka eza kuzifonera kuchiramba. Ndai shiziva sinjatamba. Songa 7 number zangu kutiplamba.
Weta umpuza XY uriki. Why? Why? Kana kumbanditiwa yeti naiki. Why? Why?
Hongu taka tukana, tukana.
Why?
Joko bata mukana, mukana.
Why?
Gati ziwe ichika wana mukana. Chichinga pere mupenyu wapana.
Chinga mutiwa arise imuni wako. Ajina kutombo kuvenga iwe zako. Kudara takaita mafight batava right. Ndakango kurambira unu wako. Asichim na ye. Ako kuzongo tiziwa ye. Ndaka peze sera kukunyore razi buku. Ukasari toya did you see my text. Urise yutano arise my wet. Ichinozi chino tangano ide moere ex. Let's just be friends the opposite sex. Fango jino lafta let's try it first.
Chanjera kuzi ziringira life yako. Nefuta kupo ama e. Unange uchapera mari. Nema panduru uchita kupo ama e.
Ita mungo nguvo munga vai. Kuramba uri zindi chochikai. Ita mungo nguvo munga vai. Che kupindura na shinozo tipe inai.
Eta ufuse XY uri zindi. Why? Why? Kana kumbaniti wa yesu naiki. Why?
That was music from the continent, and we hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, including producer Mike Hove, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, in a village where the lion is a barber, the goat keeps an afro. I'm your host, Peter Clotet, in Washington, D.C. Good evening, Africa.